Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Being alienated from the life of God is worse than that. To be excluded from the life of God would make hell hell if there were no flames. You're just not in the presence of God. It would make eternity a miserable existence if there were no pain, no gnashing of teeth, no thirst, no darkness, or any of the other atrocities that we associate with hell. Gnashing of teeth, I've always thought that was a strange phrase. I heard a preacher talk about that one time. He said he was preaching about it, said a guy sitting on the front teeth. He said, what about me? I had no teeth. The preacher said, teeth are provided. But it would be worse than hell if there were no flames, no gnashing of teeth, no thirst. Just the fact that you're alienated from the life of God. An existence outside of God's life is to exist with no light. I love light. People make fun of my office because I've got so many lights, and I just love lights. If it was up to me, every light in this building would be turned up as bright as it could be. I love light. It's an existence without light, only darkness. It's an existence with no love to be alienated from the life of God. Look at God's life. God's life is good. God's life is heaven. God's life is endless. I've never understood rock bands, why they decorate everything with cross bones and skulls. What's that about? It's not enticing to me. The last thing I want to think about is my body without flesh on it. Bones, no flesh. I'm not there. I love life. I love love. I'm in love with love. I love light. I love joy. I love peace. All of that is contained in the life of God. I want to be included in God's life. Now, life, what he called abundant life and eternal life. I just want to be a part of God's life. And whatever my prayer is, it is, God, don't ever shut me out. Don't ever exclude me. Don't ever say there's no place for you. I want a place in God's life. It is possible. Jesus said it was. He said, let not your heart be troubled. I love this verse. Use it at funerals all the time, and I think about it just to myself all the time. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Think about that. Heaven has a place for you. Heaven has a place just for you. Nobody else can occupy. There is a place made just for you. The difference between alienation and inclusion is decided not later. It's decided now. Everybody wants to be included in God's world when they die. That's the main reason why the Catholic Church invented the doctrine of purgatory. That's a wonderful doctrine. It's just not true. I wish it were true. I've got a little money. And when I die, Becky could write a check to Living Way. Praise God, I'd be in a place. That's what purgatory is. You can pray for the dead after they're dead and change their destination. Or you can write a check to the church and change their death. Oh, I wish that were true. But there's not one verse in the Bible that backs that up. Not one. We've never been involved in God's life here. You're probably not going to be involved in God's life there. After death, there's not enough prayer nor enough money to change your location. Sorrowfully, it just doesn't work that way. You've got to get your place in God's world now. Ecclesiastes 11:3 said, as the tree falleth, there it shall be. Can't be plainer than that. As you die, it is. Hebrews 9:27 said it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. To be a citizen in God's life, we must begin now, not later. The Bible said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. John would write and say, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but now are we the sons of God. And Jesus said, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. You can't take a snapshot of it. And later, you've got to be a participant in God's kingdom now. If you want a place in God's world, it has to start right now. The church is God's world now, and it's God's world in the eternity to come. God loves his church. God loves his church. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to the church a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. God's world is his church. God's world is his church. A place in God's world is a place in God's church. A place to serve, place to belong, a place to worship. You cannot circumvent or circumnavigate. You know what the difference between circumvent and circumnavigate is? None. I looked it up. You can't circumvent. You can't circumnavigate the church. A lot of people want to. Oh, I love God. I have a relationship with the Lord. I don't go to church. Preacher, you don't know how many horse traders tell me that story. It's a wonderful thought. I love God. I see him in the sunrise. I sit out there on my horse and watch the sun, and I just worship God. But I don't go to church, but I know that I'm all right with the Lord. That sounds good. The only thing wrong with that is it's not true. If you don't go to God's church, you don't love God. Because God's got it very emphatically recorded. He loves his church. And I'm going to tell you what. If you get crossed up with Becky, you're crossed up with me. You get crossed up with me, you're crossed up with Becky, and that's the way it ought to be with you and your spouse. You're one. Well, let me tell you, Christ and his church are one. You can't separate them. Christ's church is his world. Even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together in Christ. By grace, ye are saved, and he's raised us up together to do just what you're doing now. Sitting together in heavenly places. Show me the path of thy life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So we might ask, what is the deterrent of people finding a place in God's world? I want to be in God's world. Jesus said it's a birth. You can't just shake Steve Fender's hand and go to heaven, or John Hagee's, or the Pope in Rome. Jesus said, to a religious man, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. The new birth, it's called, being born again. Two reasons that prevent people from finding a place. Now, let's make that three reasons. From finding a place in God's world. Number one, they're drawn away, the Bible said. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust and time. They're just drawn away from the church. I've spent a lifetime in the church and preaching to the church almost my entire life now, and I've seen people just drawn away. They're drawn away by sex. They're drawn away by money. They're drawn away by greed. They're just drawn away. What the Bible calls the pleasures of sin for a season. That's one reason why people don't have a place in God's world. They're drawn away. There's another reason, though, and the Bible's got a cute little story that defines it. One reason why people are not involved in God's world is they're just too busy. Oh, they love God. They tell you they do. But they're just too busy. They're too busy building businesses, working jobs, playing golf, fishing, hunting, ranching, racing cars, just too busy. The Bible said that the prisoner was given to the man and said, keep him. And when I come back, if you've let him escape, his life shall be required for yours. And when he came back, he said, where is he? He said, sure enough, he escaped. He said, how did you let him escape? This is in 1 Kings. He said, I just got busy here and there. Not bad people, just busy people. Too busy to pray, too busy to read God's word, too busy to come to God's house, too busy to take their place in God's world. They've got their own world, and it doesn't include God. And then there's a third, it's just the third reason why people don't get involved in God's world. It's just the enormity of the task. Man, this is an amazing thing. We gather together. We want to invite you here on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. It's open to the public. We have a wonderful time. I share the word of God on faith and prayer, and I'm already ready for Thursday night. I wish it was Thursday night right now. And then we pray together, and we anoint handkerchiefs and send them out and wait for the miracle reports and rehearse what God has done. All of that is scriptural. But the enormity of the task, when we gather together here with just maybe at most a couple hundred people or less, and then you look at the surrounding area. When I came to San Antonio, it was 1 million people 50 years ago in this area. Now there's 3 million. And so that means I've lost 2 million. The enormity of the task of just getting people saved. And he said, but there's so many people lost. And that used to be a problem for me. And many years ago, I heard a cute little story, and some of you probably have heard it. But it's a story of a little boy walking along the beach. And every once in a while, an old man was trailing him. He'd see him stoop down and throw something into the ocean. And finally, the old man hurried to catch him to see what the young boy was doing. He said, what are you doing, son? He said, I'm throwing these starfish back in the ocean. Because he said, the sun's coming out. It's going to get hot. And if they're not in the ocean, they'll die. And the old man just laughed, and he said, son, don't you realize there are millions of starfish for miles along this beach? And he said, what you're doing means nothing. The little boy reached down and picked up a starfish and threw it in the ocean and said, it matters to him. God helped me a lot. I used to see the enormity of the task and say, what's the use? But praise God, now I'm the one that goes out and says, let me just find that one. There's 99 here, but let me find that one. I find such joy in that. Years ago, we were in Florida ministering. We had a trailway bus, Silver Eagle. Kenneth Phillips, myself, Becky, Wanda, and a whole team. And we held crusades all over America in the early 70s. We had a young kid with us, about 16 years old. He's on fire for the Lord. And we were walking down the streets just handing out tracts and praying and having church at night. And the young boy was just ahead of me. And all of a sudden, I saw him reach out and hug a man. I thought he knew him. I walked up there and I said, you know, he said, no, I don't know him. The man had on blue jeans, no shoes, no shirt, long hair, unshaved face, hungry. And that young boy just stood there and talked to that old man till he started crying. He talked until the old man knelt on the sidewalk and gave his heart to Jesus. When we got back on that trailway bus, that Silver Eagle, several days later, going back to Austin, the old man had him a seat. He'd found him a place in God's world. When I came here to build the church in San Antonio, I bought a church down near Hildebrand and San Pedro Blanco, both that little Baptist church had to be remodeled. And so I called that old man because he was now in the church in Austin. He was married to a Holy Ghost-filled woman. And he came down and he rewired that old church building and he got to tell me his entire story. He said, Pastor Steve, he said, When I was a young man, he said, I had an electrical company in Michigan. And he said, I had hundreds of trucks. He said, I had the contract with the state of Michigan to do all the lighting on all the freeways they were building. And he said, my wife was absolutely beautiful, movie star beautiful. And I loved her with my whole heart. The only thing, she didn't love me. When I was out there making millions of dollars to sustain her voracious appetite, she loved racehorses, she loved gambling, she loved men. He said, she left me high and dry, and when she did, I couldn't take it. He said, I started drinking. He said, I lost everything I had. When you found me on the streets of Florida, he said, I was low as I could get. I said, how much are you going to charge me, Dan, to wire this building? He said, it took several weeks. He said, $200 a week. He said, we got a little house in Austin. My wife is Holy Ghost filled, so we go to church 3 days a week. We eat what we want. And he said, I can do it on $200 a week. Don't want no more, no less. Because he said, man, I've got a great life. He had found a place in God's world. He lived that life until a few years ago he went to heaven. He said, it didn't matter. It mattered to him. It mattered to him. I'm in the starfish business. I'm just found me a place in the kingdom of God. I want to see the whole city of San Antonio saved. But I haven't been able to do that, but we got you. And it mattered to you, didn't it? It matters to me. It matters to me. So the enormity of the task does not scare me out of God's world, because it's God's task. And I'm just thankful that I've got a place in God's world. Years ago, I used to preach for a man. He had a wonderful church, about 300 people in the Metroplex in Dallas, Texas. One of my favorite places to preach, because anytime I preached there, people got saved, every time. It was just something about that little church. It was alive with the Holy Spirit. People would get the Holy Ghost in there. Only 300 people or so, but it was just amazing. I loved that church. I always hoped when I was a kid, way before I came to San Antonio, I always hoped he'd just turn to me one day and say, Pastor Steve, I'm leaving. You can have this church. I just loved it. It was a Metroplex. It's right there close to where the Cowboys play. I loved that place. He only run 300. I had another friend across town, and he run about 1,500. And the man that run 300 just could not quit thinking about the man that run 1,500. It bugged him every day. Every day. He was a competitor. Two pastors, but competitors. Did you know the Bible lists the word emulation with murder and sedition and adultery? And did you know the word emulation in the Greek in that context means the desire to equal or exceed your brother? Friend, there's not two people in this building that are competing with anybody. You're not competing with each other. You both have found your place in God's world. I can tell you what competition will do in your spirit when you compete with other brothers and sisters. It will produce bitterness. And bitterness will kill you eventually. And so my friend became bitter because his church was small. He said to me one day, Pastor Steve, can you cover my services for me for a month? He said, I'm going around the world. He said, I'm going on the mission field. I want to see what's going on. He came back and he said, Pastor Steve, we're not doing any good. He said, I didn't realize there were so many people in the world, and most of them lost. It wasn't just a few days until he was out of the ministry. He left his wife. He abandoned his young teenage daughter. He quit that church. And a few years ago, they held his funeral in Houston, Texas, because he died of AIDS. I saw him one time after that. It was in Clear Springs Restaurant outside of New Braunfels here. Just happened to run into him there. And he broke down and cried. And he said, "Brother Steve, I'm lost. Whatever you do," he said, "don't become like me." He said, "I'm just living on memories. I refuse to live on memories. I'm going to make memories every day of my life. And the last day I live, I want to throw a starfish back in the ocean because I found me a place in God's world, and I'm just as happy as I can be. The building is full to the rafters, or there's 15 people in a meeting in the chapel. I'm involved in God's world. It is an amazing place to live when you just get up every day and say, God's got me, and I'm in the hollow of God's hand, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. I can never, ever be divorced. I can never, ever be separated from God's love or God's world. Every day of my life, I'm going to talk to Jesus. If I would happen to fall, He'll pick me up. He'll brush me off. He will put new wine in my wounds, but He will in no wise cast me out. For some reason, some way that I cannot define, God has made a place for me in His world. And He said, in no wise will I cast you out. Friend, I encourage you to get involved in God's world. You can't do it the day you die. You can't do it after you die. You have to do it right now. When you see people up on this platform singing, say, why are they singing? Because that's their place in God's world. When you see people ushering in these aisles, say, why do they do that? They have to come earlier than everybody else. They dress differently. They have to prepare themselves. Why do they go to the effort? It's because they've found a place in God's world. I encourage you to be like those people that run the children's church next door. That's a sacrifice, but they found a place in God's world. Ladies and gentlemen, I might not be the greatest preacher in the world. I might not ever be associated with Billy Graham or the great orators of the world. But praise God, I found a place in God's world. And in Him, the Apostle Paul said, in Him I live. I live in Christ Jesus. He is my God every day. I know that God does not judge as man judges. And all I want to do is be included in God's word. Every day I want to feel God's spirit. Every day I want to hear God's voice. Every day I want God to send me on an errand. Every day I want God to use me. Every day I want God to let me pray for somebody. Every day I want to try to lead somebody to Christ. Every day I want to give into God's kingdom because I'm living in God's world. And friend, I've seen all kinds of world. I watch as people make hundreds of million dollars in athletics. And I watched the richest man, or at least one of the richest men in the world the other day. I think he's worth somewhere around $50 billion. And they asked him, said, are you a Christian and do you believe in Christ? And he said, if you would have asked my parents, the answer would have been different. They would have said yes. But he said, I don't believe in Christ. He said, I don't believe there is a heaven. I don't believe there is a hereafter. I'm 80-some years of age. I'm going to die. But he said, when I die, that's it. It's over. Here is a man that has created a world of wealth. He has everything this world thinks is success. And compared to me, he is a pauper. Because I am rich in Christ Jesus. I am satisfied in the Lord. Every day of my life, He floods me with His presence. He confers with me in the Spirit, thank God. And I'm as happy as a human being can be because Jesus Christ is my Lord. I've been born again. And every day I say, God, give me one more day because I'm enjoying it so much. Let me live a little longer, God, on this earth. But the Apostle Paul said, but if I die, he said, I'm in a strait. because I got two worlds and they're both so great. One is here and one is the hereafter, but they both collide in one world, and that is the world of God. He said, if I remain, I'm here with you. But he said, if I die, I'm in heaven with Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to live the way this world lives. Christ has made a place, and he will reserve that place for you until the day that you die, and he won't let nobody take your place. Don't sit there. That belongs to Juan. That belongs to Bob. That belongs to Dorinda. That belongs to Robert. That belongs to Steve. That belongs to Becky. That belongs to Kenna. Don't sit there. That's their place. I've got a place for you over here. God's got a place for you in his world. And you have no excuse. When you die, you have no excuse of not going to heaven, because Christ has made a place for you. And he offers it to you today in this service. And you know that you have a place in Christ when you have a place in his church, because Christ's world is his bride. Christ's world is his bride. If you've got a good marriage, your world is your spouse. And friend, Christ's world is his bride. Christ's world is his church. If you want to be up in God's world and you want a place in God's world, get a place in God's church, and he will forever seal you against that day. Will you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give praise and gratitude to God that God has made a place for you in his world? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shitoromoko sotolabaka. Hallelujah. It's so pitiful. It's so pitiful. A man I purchased a ranch from told me, said, I hate preaching. He told me 15 minutes later, you're the only preacher I've ever met I liked. I want to come and hear you preach. He never did make it here from Pilot Point, Texas, here. But I talked to the man that was standing by his bedside when he died. He was worth about $1 billion. He and I got to be friends. Never could lead him to Christ. He just wasn't interested. He had his own world. The man that was standing, a Baptist man standing beside his bed when he was on his deathbed, said he took off his breathing apparatus and said, put $10,000 on North Carolina. It was the last thing he ever said. Put the mask back and died within 30 seconds. That was his world. Betting on sports, counting his money. That was his world. I can't be bought. I'm not interested in being the richest man in the world. I don't have to have the biggest church in the world. I don't have to be the most talented. I don't have to have the best car. I'm just so happy that God has got a place for me.